Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah 38. Thinking about Hezekiah. The Bible says in verse 1, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees by which degrees it had gone down. I love the Lord and I thank God for his word. I'd like to preach this morning, if God would be my help for just a few moments, on this thought, reminding God. Reminding God. As we see this and we see this thing playing out, we see King Hezekiah, and it starts out here in verse 1. He says, in those days. I will say, in those days, there was some things that was happening to the little nation of Israel. It was happening to God's people. I want to say, in those days, in these days which we live, there's some things that's happening on every hand. We're seeing the world out of control. We're seeing the world going running to and fro. But you know what? That's Bible being fulfilled right before their eyes. We're seeing God move in this last day like we've never seen before. And what a privilege and honor it is to be one of God's little children as we see him begin to march through with his precious word right through our hearts, showing us and pointing us to the glorious day of his appearing, when we'll see him face to face and see him as he is. And boy, what a time that's going to be. But until then, we can see as it was in those days. It was in these days, praise God, there was some things that's transpiring. Now King Sennacherib, he come up from the Assyrians and they besieged the city, and they got it besieged. And he sends out a spokesman to speak to him. You can see that over in chapter 7. And he sends a fella out to try to discourage and tear down. And now his name is Rabshakeh, praise God. That sounds like a discourager to me. Amen. He comes up there and he begins to blaspheme the name of God. He said, now listen, people. And he talks in their language. He speaks their language. You know what the world's trying to do today? It's trying to talk our language. Amen. It's trying to talk like we talk and act like we act. Praise God. And they're doing a pretty good job, because we're not acting like God wants us to act. We're acting more like them. Amen. Amen. Oh, me. But we see him as he begins to cry out. He begins to condemn the God of Israel. He begins to tear them down and say, listen, he said, the Lord will not deliver you. He said, Hezekiah said, the Lord, don't worry about it. The Lord will deliver us. Amen. But he said, the Lord will not. Several times comes back and he said, hey, you're listening to him, but he's deceiving you. The Lord will not deliver you. He said, we've seen it in the past. He said, there's others that's tried this same thing. There's other nations stronger than you that stood up and said, you know what? Our God will deliver us. And he said, those gods have failed. They've been torn down and they're burned. Amen. But this fella didn't know the God of Israel. This fella didn't know my God and your God. That fella didn't know, praise God, there was a God, and that he's real, and that he's on the throne, and he has power, and he has great might. He's not like any other God. He's a God of God, and a Lord of Lords, and a King of Kings. Amen. In those days, when everything seemed to go awry, so everything seemed to be going wrong, it was brought to God's attention, and God... When Hezekiah prayed, he said, oh God, you know what we need. And God said, yeah, yeah. He said, you know, and just to paraphrase to make it short, a long story short, he said, don't you worry about that. I'll take care of it. I know we worry and we fret over a lot of things. But I praise God, listen, what we need to do is just let God take care of it. Amen. I've told you many, many times, praise God, our God won't fit in this box. Our God's way too big, amen. I was talking to a boy yesterday visiting, and I talked to him time and time, several times, and he was always doubting the truth and the Word of God and the things of God. And he told me yesterday, he said, you know what? I've been thinking and studying of what you've been telling me, and I've been looking at all this research and all these scientists and everything that they're saying, and I've come to realize that what they're telling me, what I was believing they were saying, ain't nothing but the Word of God being fulfilled. Amen. He said, the more I search, the more I see God. Amen. I will say, the more we search, the more we look, the more we'll see God. Amen. The Bible says, I come down and God began to move. And the Bible says, an angel of the Lord moved upon that situation. I want to say, when an angel of the Lord gets to moving and a stirring, praise God, things happen. Amen. They don't stay the same. They won't keep going in the same direction. When the angel of the Lord, praise God, begin to move, they was a stirring. Said they was 185,000. Amen. That's 185,000. The angel of the Lord took care of in one night. Through mass confusion, praise God, and slaughter, he took it. He said, and when they got up in the morning, they were all dead corpses. Amen. You say, who were those that tried to defy the living God? Amen. All those that try to defy and deny the Lord, the living God, praise God, are always dead corpses. They're dead. They're not alive. Amen. How do you know? Because when the Lord, when the good God of heaven, Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God moves into your heart, you're made alive. You're quickened by His Spirit. You begin to realize, praise God, the truth, and the truth makes you freer than you've ever been. I'm glad I've got a freedom day. When they're trying to impress me, compress me and depress me, praise God, I'm glad I've got deliverance. Amen. Deliverance will come. In those days, he said, they was oppression, but deliverance had come, praise God. So we see Hezekiah in those days, and the Bible says that, number one, he was sick. Hezekiah, isn't it amazing how it seems like in this old flesh we go through one battle and get out of it, get that mountaintop experience, and next thing you know, you're in a valley again. But it ain't amazing God made it that way. Hello? Ain't it amazing? I said, ain't it amazing God made it that way? Because what happens, you get on the mountaintop and you shout and praise and you give Him glory, but we know that's not always that way. Before you know it, you'll slip back down in the valley. Things will come. Oppression will come. Depression will come. Compression will come, praise God. And you end up in the valley. But praise God, when you get so low, praise God, all you can do is fall upon your face and fall upon your knees and begin to call out to a thrice holy God. Amen. Begin to call out His name, praise God. And He begins to help you. Pray, give you the energy, give you the stamina, give you the courage to start climbing back up. Amen. Everybody in here this morning knows what I'm talking about. Ain't a soul in the sound of my voice don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe you're down there in the valley now. Maybe it seems like you've been down there for a long time. Praise God, younger, just look up, hit your knees, call out to God, and begin to climb back up. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God's got this. Amen. He was sick. You know what? I'm sick. I'm sick of sin. Amen. I'm sick of the devil. I'm sick of the oppression. I'm sick of what God's trying to do. The world's coming alongside us now and said we have Christian privilege. And they're trying to make, I told them Wednesday night a few weeks ago, they're trying to make that sound like that's a bad thing. And now they're saying that we have white Christian privilege. Amen. Trying to make us ashamed that we're Caucasians. I mean, we're white people. That don't bother me. Because that is what I is. Amen. And if I try to be anything else, I'm going to mess up what I am. Amen. You will too. But I've got the privilege of being a child of the King, praise God. Amen. He healed me of my sickness. Hezekiah was sick. And the Bible said that this sickness was unto death. Amen. That he was going to die. But ain't it good, praise God, when it comes time to the end? We can look up and we can look out, praise God, and God's got a plan. Hello? Hey, glory be to God. Don't you let the devil discourage you, praise God. It don't matter where you're at, God's got a plan. And I'm glad, praise God, as a child of God, you're part of His plan. And He's going to fulfill His plan for His glory. Hey, Brother Charles, it don't matter what you're going through here, praise God. This is as bad as it gets. Yeah. Yeah, glory, hallelujah. Y'all just jump up and take a spell. Amen. No matter what we face here, it's as bad as it gets. It's going to get better farther on and be better through eternity. Yeah. Amen. His sickness wasn't the death. But God had a man of God standing on the brinks. Amen. Ain't you glad that when it comes time, when it comes, it's amazing to me. Sometimes I won't hear nothing from nobody for months at a time. Some people won't call me. They won't come to church. But praise God, you let them get sick. Have to go into the hospital. Have a loved one that's down. That old phone will ring and there they'll be. And they'll say, "Preacher, please help me pray." Oh, what a privilege and honor it is, Brother Parker, to be able to say, well, let's just go ahead and pray now. Amen, glory. Why put off what you can till tomorrow, what you can do today? Amen. Many of the times I took the phone and I said, well, let's just pray. And pray, God, just get real with God and things begin to happen and glory begin to show. Amen. He was sick and the Bible says sickness unto death. He was a dying man. Amen. Now he just got victory. He was on the mountain. But praise God, before he knew it, he was down in the valley. Amen. It can happen just that quick. We can be on the mountain. We can be praising God. We can be rejoicing, Lord. And the next thing you know, we're down in the valley. Amen. If we ain't careful, we get caught up in our own molly grubs. We get caught up on our own dissuasion and we dissuade ourselves when we ought to be persuading ourselves that He is God and He's real. He hasn't changed. He hasn't moved. Praise God. He's still and always will be God. Amen. He's that ever-present help in the time of trouble. But he was sick and the sickness was the death, Bible tells us. But there was a preacher standing by. Amen. He was there at the end. Amen. Ain't you glad? Praise God. When you come to the end of yourself, like the prodigal didn't realize why you was there and how you got there, praise God, some man of God come alongside you and said, let me tell you about a Savior. It's Christ Jesus, Lord. Let me tell you how to lift up, how to pick up your head, how to look to glory, how to be saved, how to be revived, how to be stirred. Praise God. Amen. Glory be to His name. Some man of God comes along and he said, listen, amen. But you know what? You know what's a sad thing? A man of God, if he's a man of God at all, he'll tell you the truth. Amen. Listen, I don't want some man of God to tell me a fairy tale. Amen. I don't think you do either. I think this congregation likes good preaching. I think you like the truth. I think you require the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell everybody to come to preach out of this pulpit. Praise God, just preach the word. I said, these people will stay with you as long as you're preaching the truth. Amen, Brother Kevin. Amen. Glory be to God. They like the word of God and they like it straight. Amen. Praise God. They may be able to preach it straighter than I can live it. But Brother Parker, they'll never preach it straighter than I like it. Amen. Glory be to God. It'll help my heart. It'll redirect my focus. It'll put me where I need to be. The man of God come in toward the end. Hezekiah said, man, I said, I need you. The old man of God, God done spoke to his heart and he goes to Hezekiah and he says this. He has these encouraging words. He said, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order. Thou shalt die and not live. Amen. So the old man of God, praise God, he come to where Hezekiah was. The king is there on his bed, praise God. And the old man of God come in there. God, hey, you know why he did that? Because God had him ready. Amen. I want to say God will get you ready. He'll put you where you need to be. Amen. Had him ready. Had him waiting. Pray God. Had him expecting. He was listening for a word from God. Amen. Well, I've been begging God to touch my heart and just help me to listen for the word. Amen. Sometimes I get ahead of myself running and we run into and fro. These are life's days, people. The Bible said life's days we'd be running to and fro. Amen. We'd be jumping on planes and flying here and yonder in just a moment and a thought of time. But praise God, I want to say there's a God. He's real. He's still ever-present help in these last days which we live. But we see Him. He said, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. So what we see here, we see the man of God. A man had him there on purpose, had him there on time. Amen. You know God's never late. I bet there's probably been times in your life you pulled up in here, praise God, something going on in your life, and God just opened the door of your heart, just poured in all the information you need to know about yourself and your situation, what you need to do. And you say, well, and you puff up and you say, boy, that preacher, somebody's done told him on me. Amen. Amen. You'll say, hey, somebody's been talking it. You look over at your husband and say, what'd you tell him? Amen. Brother Hans says, amen. Amen. That husband pokes his wife. What'd you tell him? Amen. I didn't have to tell the preacher nothing. God already knew. God already, hey, by faith, hey, before you, glory, before you ever got in that situation, God was already on it. Amen. God was already preparing a message. God was already setting forth a plan. God was already making preparation to help your heart. But we'll puff up and we'll get mad at the man of God. We'll go out that door, not even shake the preacher's hand. You was wondering if I was coming back, wasn't you? Amen? Now you know how I feel. Amen? When they puff up, but you know that's how God feels. He said, or will they come back? He said, I told them the truth. But you know what's wrong in the day and hour we live? We can't stand the truth. We don't want the truth. We can't stand the truth because we're not living the truth. He said, Hezekiah, you got some things going on, but said, you need to set your house in order. Because you're sick, he said, thou shalt surely die. Amen. He said, surely. He said, could you give me the definition of surely? Amen. See, we want to critique God's word. We want to pull it apart. Because what? When God speaks to us, sometimes it don't fit what we're thinking. Amen. Could you explain surely? Amen. Could you elaborate on that word surely just a little bit? And Isaiah said, okay, I will. And not live. Amen. In other words, you're going to die, fella. Amen. And he didn't plead and beg and try to get him to repent, fast. He just told him that. Praise God. And Isaiah, God says, okay, that's what I sent you telling me. He said, okay, I'm done. You know what? Sometimes it does good, Brother Rex, when God gets done, to just hush and go to the house. Amen. Just leave. I had an opportunity. Yesterday, I talked to a fellow said he's an atheist. Amen. Down the road just a little way. You didn't know he was right in your neighborhood, did you? I was out visiting. I pulled up to him. He said, boy, I appreciate what you're doing. I know I can see the excitement. I know I appreciate what you're doing. He said, I don't believe that. I said, you don't believe it? He said, no, sir, I'm an atheist. I said, so you're saying you don't believe nothing? Amen. That's what an atheist is. Somebody says they don't believe nothing. Amen. But he's not an atheist. He's an unbeliever. Amen. I said, no, you're not atheist. I said, you're an unbeliever. I said, let me just give you this and I'll leave you alone. I said, I'm a child of God. I've been born again through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ who died for my sins and who rose up. We have history. Praise God. History says that he died and he rose again 500 at one time. Seen him alive after he's dead. I said, he's my Savior. Amen. He's alive and he said at the right hand of faith. He said, well, I don't believe that. I said, so you choose to be an unbeliever. I said, I believe that. And I'm going to live a good life, a righteous life, a holy life, helping where I can, loving all the time. So if I die, I said, if I'm wrong, I've lived a good life before men. But I left him with, I said, I want to leave you with this, a question. I said, what if you're wrong? And he never said a word, just stood there and looked at me. I put it in drive and down the road I went. Amen. I ain't going to argue with him. He knows where he's at. He's an unbeliever. Amen. There's a lot of unbelief in this world. Amen. But let me just say this. There's a lot of unbelief, praise God, sitting in our churches today. Amen. There's a lot of belief. Don't have. Brother Tarter mentioned this morning, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. That's the tiniest seed, the smallest one. He said, if you have faith, you can save that mountain. If there's a mountain in the way, praise God. If you've got a mountain of obstacles, your life, it needs removed. You can say to that mountain, be removed and cast to the depths of the sea. Take it out of the way, praise God, and it's gone. Amen. You know what it means to have faith, believe in that way? Now I'm not chasing bunny trails. I'm just minding the Lord this morning. When you got faith like that, praise God, it's praying, believing that you might receive. It's saying, Lord, there's an obstacle for me, praise God, and I can't get around it. I can't go over it. Lord, I need you to help me. I need you to take it out of the way. And then taking faith, praise God, in your feet and start heading toward the mountain. Amen. Expecting when you get to the foot of that mountain that it's going to be gone. Amen. That's faith. So he sent this man, the man of God, to him. Surely you're going to die and should not live. He said, you're going out of here. So what's important to have when somebody comes along and say, you know what? You're dying. If I come to you this morning, Brother Don, and I say, Brother Don, you're dying. Amen. You're going to die. Surely you're going to die and not live. Amen. He'd look at me and say, preacher, you're crazy. But you know what he thinks in his mind? After church, he'll come up and say, when, preacher? How much, what do you know? What's God told you? How long have I got? Yeah. Amen. That's what he told Hezekiah. He said, set your house in order. He said, you're going to die and not live. Amen. Praise God. He said, you better set her up. You better get ready. Bible said it's appointed. You say, well, preacher, you don't know that. Bible says it's appointed man wants to die and after his judgment. Had a lady look at me between Beak and Bill the other day and she said, I just don't understand it. Why would God take my child? I said, what don't you understand? I said, the Bible says, God says, it is appointed unto men once to die and after this a judgment. I said, your child had an appointment. You wasn't ready, but God was. The thing is, we got to hope that they're ready. Yeah. Amen. We got to hope that all our loved ones are in ready, praise God, when God calls us home. Calls us out of here. If you're not ready, praise God, you won't be home. Your home will be hell. Place of eternal torment if you're not ready. If you've not been born again, if you've not been saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, you're going to die and not live. So what was important? Look what Hezekiah had. The importance of Hezekiah, what he had, praise God, in that hour. When a man of God come, told him, said, God has spoken. He said, you're going to die, surely die, and not live. Hezekiah, he turns his face to the wall. Amen. Now I like this because he didn't go out and he didn't get a group of people to come in and anoint him and touch him and pray over him and mourn and weep because he was dying. Bible said he just turned his face to the wall. Amen. He just turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. He turned his face from his problems. He turned his face. He praised God. He began to meditate upon things. He turned his face. Ain't you glad, praise God, at times like this, that Hezekiah still had God. Amen. When it comes time to die, praise God. When your time comes, when our time comes, ain't you glad, praise God, God will still be there. Amen. He'll still be on your side. Hezekiah, praise God, come to the time everything else was faded away. But he still had God. Amen. God was still there with him. His faith, his trust was in his God. I mean, not only did he still have God, he still had the power of prayer. Amen. He could still cry out to his God. I told you the story when I had a life spring a year ago. I had that surgery and they put an IV in my hand. And I had that vertical, vagal, whatever it's called, and I was going out of here. Where your body shuts down, your heart rate drops. I mean, it dropped down below 25. They went code blue, and in that little old room, it filled the room. There was 10 people in there. Boy, they was checking my sugar. They was doing this and doing that. They was raising my feet up, stuffing pillows under my feet. I mean, they was a doctor and probably 10 people in that little old prep room. Amen. The only thing I could think, oh God, this is it. And I thought, oh Lord, who's going to take care of Teresa? Amen. I said, who's going to take care of my little wife? Who's going to do it now? And God spoke to my heart just as big as I'm talking to you. And he said, preacher, I got this. The same one that's going to take care of you. It's going to take care of her. Glory be to God. That's why Hezekiah turned to the wall, praise God, because he still had God and he still had prayer. This old flesh will fail us. We can go south, praise God. We can get in the valley, but praise God, God's still a God of the mountain and he's still God in the valley. Amen. We just cry out to him expecting till he comes. He cried out, praise God. He had God. He had prayer. Amen. And he still had a life. Amen. You know how he could get a hold of God? Because he had an influence with God. Amen. And the Bible said he had lived a good life before God. That's what makes a difference, praise God. When it comes down to the end is how we finish, if we finish well. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. Amen. He said, I've done what God called me to do. I've stayed on course. I've stayed on track. Amen. Sometimes this old world, brother, he'll change courses. Amen. But I'm glad God knows where we need to be, and he'll put us there. He'll give us that encouragement we need. And Hezekiah, he began to pray, and he had faith with God, and he began to talk to God. And he said, Lord, remember how I've walked with thee. Amen. He said, remember my walk, Lord. He said, remember how faithful I've been to you, how faithful I've been to your word, how I've trusted in you, I've believed in you, I've believed on you. I've trusted in, I've relied on, I've adhered to you, Lord. Amen. I believed everything you've told me. Praise God. He said, I've not lived perfect, but praise God, I've got a perfect God. I believe perfectly that you are God. He said, I've been faithful to you, God. Amen. He reminds God that he's been faithful. When it's your time to go, can you remind God how faithful you've been? I've told you, God, I believe there's a special reward for faithfulness to God. Amen. I believe all my heart, I believe there's a special reward for our faithfulness to God. I'm glad God ain't as faithful to us as we are to Him. Because if He was, we wouldn't have much help along the way. Amen. But I'm glad that God is always faithful. So he prayed, he talked, he reminded God of his faithfulness. Amen. He reminded God of how he had talked. He's reminded God that he had always given out the truth. He had been a witness for Christ. He had been a witness for God. Amen. Can you say you've always been a witness? Amen. You've always given out. You know what? I had somebody last night. We had a little family get together. My brother come down, brought my mom back. She'd been up visiting with him. They come back and we had a little get together and they was talking about a circumstance. And they was talking about a young person who had hurt herself because somebody had told them the truth. Amen. And these people trying in their logic, in their mind, they're trying to justify telling them a lie. Justify going along with them and them living a lie, amen, to make them feel better. We can't do that. No matter how much we love them, we got to tell them the truth. Because the Bible says the truth will make them free. Amen. Amen. If they something got a hold of our youngins, our people, our family members, we've got to tell them, we've got to give them the truth. They may not like it. But if we do it in love, praise God, God will take it and use it. He'll nurture their heart. He'll prick their soul. And He'll save them from that mess. Amen. He'll lift them up. The Bible said, praise God, if He'll bring you up, He'll bring you out. Amen. And then we start praying, praise God. Praying, let them know we're praying for them. You say, why are you praying for me? Because I love you. And you're going the wrong way. Amen. Who wouldn't if you had a child in a car and there's a headed down the road wide open and the bridge was out ahead and you knew it? Who wouldn't jump out in the road and say, stop? Amen. Every one of us would if we're any kind of people at all, even if we didn't know that person. We'd jump out and say, stop, the bridge is out. Amen. We ought to be able to say that. We ought to tell our people the truth. That Jesus loves them and He hates sin. God loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. Amen. Plain as that. Amen. We don't have to hate them people. We just hate what they're doing, if God does. Listen, to church, it's not wrong to hate sin. Amen. Let me say it again. It's not wrong to hate sin. God does. And then you say, preacher, he don't really hate sin. He hates sin so much that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, when he became sin for you and I, that he turned his back. He couldn't look on sin. Amen. He didn't turn his back on his son. He turned his back on sin. Amen. Didn't have to see it. Praise God. Hezekiah prayed. Praise God. He prayed and said, Lord, I've preached. I've told the truth. Are you preaching the truth? He said, well, preacher, I'm not a preacher. Amen. We're all preachers of the gospel. We're all to go out. You can't be a pastor or evangelist preacher. But praise God, we're all supposed to be a testimony, praising the Lord, giving out the gospel. The truth, amen, that the good message. Praise the Lord. He said, I've talked in truth. He said, I've had a perfect heart. He reminded God of his perfect heart. You say, what is a perfect heart? What in the world is, what do you got to do to have a perfect heart? Look at 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 8. If you don't have to go there, I'll read it to you. Verse 60. Now Solomon had been making a big long prayer and he talked to God and he had asked God to just bless and to bless the people. And he gets down to chapter 8 and verse 60 of 1 Kings and he says, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God. Amen. Number one, that's the most important part, that we know that the Lord, He is God. Amen. In other words, He's the only God. And that there is none else. Ain't nobody like Him. Look at verse 61. He said, but let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God. And then he tells us what a perfect heart is. He said, to walk in His statutes and to keep His commandments as at this day. He said, we're to continue walking in the statutes and the commandments of God. What thus says the Word of God? He said, Lord, I've tried my best. You know what? Let me just say this while I'm here. God only expects our best. Amen. If you give your best, praise God, as a child of God, you do the best you can to love Him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, to listen to His Word, to heed the Word, praise God. That's all God expects. Amen. Ain't none of us perfect. But He said we're supposed to strive for perfection. Amen. That means, praise God, we got to work at it. We have to put effort into it. So Hezekiah here, he said, Lord, I've had a perfect heart. I've kept your word. I've followed your commandments. I've done what I thought was right. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you done what you thought was right? Not in your eyes, but in God's. Amen. Boy, it's time that the church, praise God, started doing what's right in the eyes of God. Righteousness is of the Lord. Self-righteousness is a filthy rags. Amen. We can try to do it. You see, if we do it without God, it don't work. It's just dead works. But he had a perfect heart. He was trying to do right. He would go on and remind God. He said, I have done that which is good. Amen. He said, I've done good deeds. I've done things that I thought were right. Good things. I've helped people. I've been encouragement. Amen. Praise God. You say, well, preacher, did it make a difference when he was reminding God? Sure it did. It moved God to action. When we begin to remind God, praise God, of how we've tried to walk, it moves God to action. God began to move. Look what he says in verse 5. He sent that preacher back. Amen. Before Isaiah got back to the house, praise God, God nudged his heart. I believe before he got out of the king's palace, God stirred his heart and he said, hey, listen, Isaiah, go back. Amen. I got something I need to tell the king. So Isaiah, praise God, being a man of God he was, he just turned her heel to toe, praise God, and he headed back toward the king. Amen. Praise God. Hey, why? Because he wasn't afraid to tell him the truth. Amen. Now he just went in there and told him. He said, set your house in order. You're going to die. Surely thou art going to die and not live. Amen. Told him for, as a matter of factly. But then God touches Isaiah's heart. He turns him around. And he says, you go back in there. He said, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father. Amen. So he turns him around and he said, you go and say to Hezekiah. Now, a lot of preachers, Brother Parker, a lot of preachers in the day and hour would say, you know, I done went and told that boy what I thought God laid on my heart. I ain't going to go back and tell him something else. Because he'll think I'm a liar. Amen. But praise God, you listen, if God touches your heart and unction, you pray God, you don't know what God's doing on the other end. I started to go out of here visiting yesterday. I got plumb up the top of the hill there at Brother Chris's house, and God unctioned my heart, said, you need to go back. Hey, somebody you missed. Praise God, I didn't question. I hit the right next right turn, went around the road, headed back up the valley. Amen. Why? Because God said, hey, wait a minute. You ain't out of here yet. Turn it around. Praise God, I never hesitated. I turned it on a dime and I headed back up the valley. Amen. That's why God was already working on the heart. That's where I pulled up that guy, talked to that little fella, and he says, I've realized, praise God, that the truth is the truth. Amen. Praise God. He told me, I just want to tell you, he said, you're the best friend I got. He said, you're the only friend I got. He said, I appreciate you showing me the truth. I said, I'm just showing you God. He said, yeah, but you do it different. Amen. I said, what do you mean I do it? He said, you do it different. He said, you really care. I said, praise God. And I said, no, he really cares. He loves you. And I love you too. Praise God. It made a difference. It turned him around. And he said, and God said to him, he said, I have heard thy prayer. Amen. God said, I heard you, Hezekiah, I heard you pray. Ain't you glad that God listens? Amen. Amen. Don't ever let nobody tell you that God don't hear prayer. Now let me just say this. If you're living in sin, God won't hear your prayer. The only prayer he'll hear of a sinner, pray God, is Lord, forgive me of my sin. Pray God. You know what do good? You called it out. Said, Lord, help me in my fornication. Help me in my death. Forgive me of my adultery. Forgive me of my drunkenness. Amen. Pray God. Didn't he bring you out of that? Amen. He won't leave you there. Praise God. He'll deliver you. But the Lord said, I've heard your prayer. Not only did he pray, he said, I've seen your tears. He said, praise God, when you was praying, praise God, he said, I've seen it real. It's running out your face. Amen. When it's real, praise God, there'll be some feelings, there'll be some emotions, there'll be a brokenness in your heart when you truly cry out to God. Praise the Lord. There'll be a difference in it. He said, I've heard your prayer, I've seen your tears. He said, you know what? Because I've heard you, because I've seen those tears, because you've prayed earnestly from your heart, he said, I'm going to give you 15 years. Amen. Boy, wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't you like God to turn back the clock 15 years? Amen. Glory be. Hey, did you ever think about praise God? If you give God, if you surrender yourself wholly to God, like Hezekiah did, he said, oh God, remember what I'm trying to do for your glory. What God might do for you. Brother Bill, my God might just turn the clock back 15 years. Praise God, give you 15 more years to just praise and give God glory. Amen. Praise God, lifting up His name every day so that others might hear it. Bless His holy name. So not only did he say, give him 15 years, he said, I'll deliver thee and this city. Amen. He said, not only am I going to give you those 15 years, he said, I'm going to deliver, I'll deliver you and I'm going to deliver the city. Amen. He said, well, how in the world? Because he said, I will defend this city. Amen. There ain't no defense like God's defense. That's why that little nation of Israel over there in that little corner of the world, amen, they're there and nobody can come against them satisfactory. Nobody can defeat them because God's there. Amen. They say, well, it's that dome they have that protects them from all those rockets. It's that dome of God's protection. It's an almighty God. It's God's hand on them that preserves them alive. Amen. He said, I'll turn it back. I'll give you 15 years. And God says, in closing, now listen to me. I'm just about finished. He said, how I know it? He said, God said, I'm going to give you a sign. Amen. He said, I'm going to give you a sign. He said, so the sun returned 10 degrees. Amen. Wouldn't it be a blessing if God could back up time 10 degrees? Give us just a little bit more time, praise God. Give us another day or two, a week or two, a month or two, a year or two, praise God, to get in when we should have. Amen. I wonder what we're waiting for. The sun's going down on this dispensation of grace. That today is the day to get in. Today is the day, praise God, to be saved and working for the Lord. Yeah. Amen. But God turned it back 10 degrees. Took that sundial, he stopped, turned it back 10 degrees. You know, scientists have tried to figure out time. and they've got spaces of time they can't figure out. There's like an hour and so many minutes a day that they lost. They couldn't figure it out. And one of them fellows went and got his Bible. He said, wait a minute. And he went over there and he got this and he began to show them where God had stopped and turned it back. He said, right there it is. Yep. Amen. Why? Because the Bible proves science. Science don't prove the Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he turned it back. He gave him just a little bit more time. Amen. So God turned. He said, so the sun returned 10 degrees. Let me ask you a question this morning. How do you pray? How do you pray when you pray? Do you ask God to remember your faithfulness? Have you remember how you've talked, how you walked, how you've acted, how you've lived, how you've loved? Do you ask God, when you pray, do you ask God, say, God, just remember. Amen. How much I've loved you, how much, praise God, what I put into this. Amen. What I'm looking to get out of this. Is that the way you pray? Amen. Pray because you know, believe Him, because God Almighty's real. Or you say, oh Lord, remember what? What have you got in your life that you would like God to remember about you? Huh? What have you got in the way that you act and live, pray God, the way you performed in this world, in this flesh, that you would like to bring to God's remembrance? Have Him remember about you. Amen. What do you have? Or let me just say it this way. When you pray, would your prayer more be like, oh God, please don't remember my slothfulness. Oh God, please don't remember my idleness. God, please don't remember how little I've actually done for your glory. Amen. I ask you this morning, what have you got to remind God about? What do we have to remind God about? It's serious. It's serious. But I want to say, just like Hezekiah, God's given us an opportunity. Just like He turned back that clock. He's given us the opportunity to say, you know what? I believe Hezekiah looked all about that and he said, pray God. He said, I've done pretty good. But he said, I could do better. Amen. He said, I could do better. With the knowledge I have, the wisdom I have, in the circumstance I'm in, God, I can do better. If you just give me just a little bit more time. Amen. Listen, I want to say, praise God, have you got anything you could remind God of that you've done? Well, I want to say God's given us an opportunity right here this morning to do it just a little bit better so that you and I could have something to remind God of. Amen. Our faithfulness, our walk, our talk, the way we even treat Him, the perfectness, the right uprightness of our hearts. In other words, I'm asking this morning, why do you do what you do? Amen. Why do we do what? You say, well, preacher, I just have to. I just have to get in there and do it. Yeah, but we should want to. Amen? We should want to. We should want to serve God. We should want to do something for the Lord because we have this opportunity. And I want to say this morning, God's turning the clock back just a little bit. He's given us all another opportunity to do just a little bit of something for Him. I want to ask you this morning in closing, what would you like to do? What would you like to have to remind God of? Have you been faithful? Have you been truthful? Have you been fearful? Amen. Have you been righteous? Have you lived right? Have you walked right? Have you talked right? Have you been a witness for Him? Amen. God's opened the doors. God's opened opportunities. You can witness for the Lord down to the doctor's office. A lot of people tell me, well, preacher, my health, I just ain't able to do it. That's a cop-out. Because God can make you a witness down at the doctor's office, praise God. Amen. Where you're praying, saying, Lord, take these people that I love and use them to help me to brag on you. Give me just a few more days. Turn back the clock. Give me just a few more opportunities. What about you this morning as we stand to our feet all over the house?